You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we focus on the Bible and invite you to test what is taught in light of what the Scriptures teach.
Welcome to Season 9, Episode 7 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about retaining the standard. Let's get started. Hold fast the pattern of sound words. This was Paul's instruction to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. And like most of the instructions that we read in the New Testament, and we've been talking about instructions in the last few episodes that were directly to Timothy and Titus, these are just as applicable to us today as it was when it was written. When Paul told Timothy to hold fast the pattern, this is something that we also need to do today. But not all of the instructions that do apply to us today are emphasized by preachers today. This is an example of that. Paul told Timothy, hold fast the pattern of sound words. It's not common to hear a denominational preacher talk about the New Testament pattern. And in fact, there are even some in the Lord's church who don't spend much time talking about the New Testament pattern either. In fact, if you emphasize the pattern, or the fact that there is a pattern, some are going to label you as a Pharisee, as legalistic. But we look at what Paul told Timothy. He told him to hold fast the pattern. Paul wasn't a legalistic. Paul wasn't teaching him something that was wrong for him to do. We have to follow the pattern, just as Timothy was told to do. But we have to know what that pattern is and see what Paul and the New Testament as a whole says about it. So that's what we're going to talk about here in this episode. First thing that we need to understand is that there is a standard. The New American Standard translation of that verse, 2 Timothy 1:13, says, retain the standard of sound words. A standard is the basis for determining the difference between right and wrong. By comparing a certain practice with the standard, with this pattern, we are able to see if it is right or wrong. Now, by doing this, when we say, well, this is right and this is wrong, we're going to judge it according to the standard, that's going to make some people uncomfortable. They don't want to think that what they've been doing, what they've been practicing, what they've believed, what this preacher over here has taught them, they don't want to think that that is possibly wrong. They want truth to be subjective. And even if they don't come out and say that, this is what they're thinking. They want truth to be subjective because they don't want to think that, well, what I've been doing may be wrong, or what my parents have been doing has been wrong, or whatever it is, what my church is doing is wrong. They don't want to believe that there is a fixed standard of right and wrong, but the Bible teaches that there is. The Bible teaches that there is a clear difference between right and wrong. If you look over in Matthew chapter 7, at Jesus' words there at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about several different ways in which there is a right and a wrong. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, he says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. There is a right way and there is a wrong way. Verse 15, he says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. There are right teachers and wrong teachers. There is a right fruit and wrong fruit. Verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. And many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. There are right works and wrong works. Verse 24 Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." There is a right foundation and a wrong foundation. And all of these things, Jesus said there is a right way and a wrong way. Right teaching, wrong teaching. Right fruit, wrong fruit. Works, foundation, all of these things. There is a right and there is a wrong. He didn't talk about a gray area. He said there is a way that's right and there's a way that's wrong. So what is the standard that we use to determine right and wrong? Paul said, you hold fast the pattern of sound words. The standard that we follow is the standard of sound words. The word that's translated sound in that verse means healthy or safe or not corrupt. Well, what are the sound words? What words are healthy? What words are safe? What words have not been corrupted? Paul said that they are the words that he, and by extension, the other apostles spoke. He said, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me. These are the words that were described later by Paul in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3 as sound doctrine. They are used synonymously with the word and truth. And they're contrasted in that context in 2 Timothy 4 with myths and fables. This is the way that is right. It is the words of Christ. It is the words that his apostles taught. Jesus is going to judge us in the last day. We're told that in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. And the apostles, as his ambassadors, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, were his spokesmen. They were the ones who delivered his message. That is why we are to retain the standard that was taught by Paul and the others. Our standard for judgment is the New Testament. It contains the pattern that we must hold fast. Hold fast to what has been taught in the New Testament. But then we ask the question, how carefully must we hold to the pattern? You have those who will acknowledge the fact that the New Testament contains a pattern. Not everyone is going to agree on how carefully we must be in holding to that pattern. Some are very loose in their interpretation and application of the New Testament. Others try to follow the pattern as closely as they can. But how careful do we need to be? And do the scriptures give us some indication about this? Well, they do. We have some insight in the book of Hebrews when the Hebrew writer mentions the example of Moses in Hebrews 8 and verse 5. It says, who serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For see, he says, that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. Moses was told to make all things according to the pattern. We have essentially been told the same thing in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words. And so when Moses was told to make all things according to the pattern, how careful did he have to be? The Hebrew writer quoted from Exodus 25 and verse 40, which comes at the end of the Lord's instruction regarding the golden lampstand. Well, what did Moses do on that occasion when he was told to follow the pattern? Well, he made sure that the lampstand was made just as God commanded. It says in Numbers 8, 3, and 4, Aaron therefore did so. He mounted its lamps at the front of the lampstand, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now this was the workmanship of the lampstand, hammered work of gold. From its base to its flowers, it was hammered work according to the pattern which the Lord had showed Moses. So he made the lampstand. To do things according to the pattern is to do just as the Lord had commanded. In holding fast the pattern, we are to do the same thing today. We are to do just as the Lord commanded. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, he told his apostles that you go and make disciples. and you teach them to observe all that I commanded, Matthew 28 and verse 20. So to hold to the pattern means we do what the Lord has instructed. The wording of the King James Version is helpful in understanding this point. 2 Timothy 1:13 says, hold fast the form of sound words. The New Testament is the form, or is the mold, that is used to shape our actions. We are to do the things that we do that fit in that mold. If they don't fit in that mold, then there are things that we are not to be doing if we are going to be acting by the Lord's authority. Now, another question we need to ask is, what should be our attitude in holding to the pattern? The Bible repeatedly emphasizes the need to do the right things for the right reasons or with the right attitude. Jesus said we must worship in spirit and truth, John 4:24. Proper actions alone are not enough. We need to have the proper attitude or spirit as well. This principle is also stated in Paul's instructions that we have been talking about here in this lesson. The right actions are important, holding fast the pattern. But the actions must be accompanied by the proper attitude and motive. So how should we hold to the pattern? Well, notice the whole verse. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Two things he mentioned there as far as our attitude in holding fast the pattern. He talks about doing it in faith and doing it in love. We must hold fast the pattern in faith. We follow the standard because we believe God and His Word. Just as Noah, who followed the pattern that God gave him in faith, as it talks about in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, we do not, or should not, do what we do because of tradition, opinion, or preference, or anything like that. Instead, by faith, we recognize that God's way is right, His way is best, and therefore, His way must be followed for us to be rewarded. So what attitude we need to have? We need to have the attitude of faith. We also need to hold fast the pattern in love. The church in Ephesus, which is where Timothy was when Paul wrote to him, later, it says in the book of Revelation, Revelation 2:4, they left their first love. They still did many commendable things, as mentions there, that they did not tolerate certain doctrines. They were doing certain things that were right, and they could have even claimed to be following the pattern, but they were not doing so with the proper love for the Lord. Our reason for following the pattern needs to be our love for God, not to elevate ourselves or to run others down or for any other reason. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." This has to be the motive and the reason why we are doing the things that we do. So we hold fast the pattern. We do it in faith and in love. The pattern that we follow is the New Testament. It is the words that have been given by Christ, written down by His apostles and other inspired men. These are the words that we follow. This is the pattern. These are the sound words. We must hold fast this pattern, do it in faith and in love, following all that the Lord had commanded. And then as we do that, we need to be content to abide within that mold, within that form, and do what has been instructed and authorized for us to do in the New Testament.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.
Yesterday, we began a new series on the Plain Bible Teaching website called Great Days in History. This is a series that outlines the scheme of redemption. So the introduction is posted to the website, so you can check that out, and additional parts of that series are going to be posted each Monday for the next several weeks. So you can check that out either by visiting the website, or you can sign up for the newsletter by going to the Plain Bible Teaching website and signing up that way. Next week, we're going to be talking about entrusting the gospel message to faithful men. Until then, I hope you have a great week.